GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
This is the George Hailbrick Tyler Show, George on vacation in FLA. Guest co-host behind the bulletproof glass and spacious studio 7A this morning, independent journalist Andy Neff. Andy, again, thank you for getting up and coming in this morning.
You're welcome. Happy Friday.
Friend of ours on the PDQ Door telephone line, Susan Falloon with Maine Emergency Management. Susan, welcome back to the show that you helped create.
Good morning.
We were set to talk with Pete Rogers, your new boss, sort of new boss, but then we got the note from him yesterday and the note from you yesterday that says he's going to be a little bit busy today at this time, and we can understand.
He has been extremely busy, actually, for the last several months. For a lot of us, we've just been hearing about it for the last couple of weeks, but Pete has been really right in the middle of this thing for quite a while now, so he was a little busy. But you know what? We're very excited about the confirmation that took place earlier this week. Pete's doing a great job. He's keeping us well informed. He's still really upbeat in spite of all of the craziness that's going on related to the coronavirus. And, you know, it's really reassuring when regularly you sit down and you talk to your staff and you let them know what's going on. So I have to say he's doing a great job with that.
We know CDC is point on this. What role is MEMA playing?
So, you know, we've been working in you know, really in conjunction with them. But, you know, what we have done, so we haven't gotten to the point where we have activated the State Emergency Operations Center, and that is at MEMA. That's located at MEMA. We have it lit up. We have it partially activated right now. We've scrubbed all the surfaces. We've tested the equipment. So when this event gets to be big enough that we need to do that and we need to bring in members of the emergency response team, and those are folks from all agencies that could be impacted, and they've all been trained, they've all been given notice that this could happen, we would bring them all into the State Emergency Operations Center so that we have everyone in one place. You know, right now we have been participating in numerous conference calls and meetings. They have not, for the most part, been taking place at MEMA, but when we reach that threshold, then all of that would happen right at MEMA.
Susan, is most of your effort right now in general being directed towards addressing misconceptions and hysteria and panic right now, or what's the main focus for you guys?
Well, so we're a coordinating agency, so we help connect resources. So for example, one of the things that we have been working with the CDC on is personal protective equipment. You know, if you read the news, you know, you may hear that there's some concerns about that, but that's something that we're working on. We do a lot of tabletop exercises, and we do a lot of training in advance of an event like this. Typically, it's been more related to weather-related disasters, but we do have an all-hazards approach. So, for example, something that we're doing today is a continuity of operations plan training. That's going to happen later today with some other state agencies so that we can get folks up to speed and comfortable with their, what we call a COOP plan, so that they have an alternate plan in case, for example, staff can't come to work.
Susan, you're the person that always talks to us about having a go bag in the case of an emergency. All the essentials, food, water, medications and such, even everything to care for a child or for a pet should some disaster take place. But this seems different. I don't know if there's a go bag in light of something like COVID-19 knocking on our door.
So it would be a little bit different, but certainly if you have been listening all along and taking those steps, you're somewhat prepared. But things that you would want to have in that bag would, of course, include non-perishable food and water. You know, we're not looking at a storm type event, so we're probably not going to see power outages. Hopefully we won't have something like that as well. But, you know, those things stand. However, you may want to consider stocking up for a little more than the recommended 3 days in case you do need to stay home. You know, obviously having things like bleach and hand sanitizer on hand are a good idea, but we don't want people to panic over that, because if you don't have those things, good old soap and water are recommended, and that really is the best way. Wash your hands frequently. You know, having enough medication, and that could be a concern, so you may want to reach out now before you get to that point and make sure that if you have a prescription that can't be filled until you're down to one or two doses, that you talk to your doctor, and then just have all of those everyday things, your pet supplies, your baby supplies, your soap, your shampoo, your fever medication, your health information in case you do need to go to the hospital, all of those things. We have great lists on our website. That's at maine.gov/MEMA, things that you can put in your bag. Be thinking about that before things escalate to the point where you need to stay home for 2 weeks.
I did not hear toilet paper in that long list, Susan, yet when I went to the grocery stores yesterday, you'd think there was a premium and it's worth its weight in gold in toilet paper at the grocery stores. What is going on?
Well, I can't really say what's driving people to hoard toilet paper, but I just think, you know, that's another one of those supplies that make sure you have what you need for 2 or 3 weeks, but you don't need months and months supplies. For some people, that's what they do anyway. I have 2 cases of toilet paper at home, but I didn't just run out and buy them. I subscribed and I get them delivered because I never want to run out of toilet paper. So I didn't need to worry about heading to the store and getting toilet paper. So that's just, you know, one of those things that if you take the steps early, you don't need to panic. And you really don't need to panic now either. You know, we just want people to stay calm. I mean, there's so much information out there circulating that staying calm is, you know, one of the most important things that people can do. Otherwise, we're creating what we sometimes call in the emergency management world an incident within an incident, and we certainly don't want that.
Susan Falloon with Maine Emergency Management, thanks for sharing some time with us. We'll get Pete Rogers on the phone. We're very pleased to have you on the phone with us this morning. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
On line two this morning is Dr. Noah Nesson with Penobscot Community Healthcare. He's the chief medical officer for PCHC. Andy, here's Dr. Nesson. Dr. Nesson, how do you take in all of the recent closings and the postponements and setting aside some of these major events, gatherings of people, 250 or more?
I know it's very disruptive to people's lives and to their plans. I'm encouraged by it because I think agencies and government and businesses are taking the threat of this virus very seriously because it is a very serious threat. Many, many people in this country are going to get this virus. Many, many people in Maine are going to get this virus. And each of us can have an impact on it. Each of us can work to slow the progression of the spread of this disease as we've learned the term social distancing, and these efforts, these interventions to reduce the gathering of people together, the instances in which people are together in sizable crowds, are a key strategy, are a key part of that. So I think that's really vitally important if we want to make up ground that we've lost and get ahead of this pandemic.
Doctor, how do you address a lot of the misconceptions that are inevitably going to crop up in early stages of something like this? Like we mentioned, the toilet paper scare, whatever fueled that. I mean, how do you assure people or reassure people? Like you said, common sense approach.
I think showing people, you know, examples of regions or countries that have successfully managed this, in China, they're essentially not having significant new cases on a daily basis. They were very slow to respond to it initially, and it's had a devastating impact there. But through these public health measures, they've been able to slow it. In Korea, they've been able to slow it. You've seen the opposite in Italy, unfortunately, where it's taken over a country in a way that's really been catastrophic. So through a calm approach where we listen to the experts, where we follow the advice of our public health agencies, where we, as we always do as Mainers, where we look after each other and not only look out for our own interests, but the interests of our neighbors and our community by doing these things, it will have its impact, but it's not the kind of circumstance where, you know, you have to have a year's worth of food or water or supplies. I'm not sure what drove the toilet paper frenzy, except that on social media, once somebody starts something like that, you know, it creates a rush on things.
Penobscot Community Healthcare's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Noah Nesson, with us. Yesterday, we learned from the governor that we have our first presumptive positive. A Navy reservist had traveled out of the country to a country where there was an infection and now is under self-quarantine, not hospitalized, self-quarantine in Androscoggin County. Best guess, and I don't know if this is a fair question to ask of you, Doc, that's one. How many others might there be in our state?
Well, I think it's inevitable that there will be many, many others in our state. You know, the public health projections for this across the country are that there will be tens of millions of people affected. It's very likely in Maine that there will be tens of thousands of people who will get this illness. It's going to take time. When you have your first case, because of the incubation period of this disease, it doubles at about 1 week intervals or slightly less than 1 week intervals. But it's very likely over the next few weeks or couple of months, we'll see this disease in every community and we'll all know somebody impacted by it.
Now, a listener sends us this note. Ben writes to us, "I've had double pneumonia twice." There's a lucky guy. And he writes, not fun. COVID-19 sounds exactly the same. Can you give us an idea, someone that does contract the coronavirus, what can they expect?
Well, for 80% of people, especially if you're under age 60 and especially if you're generally healthy, it can be anything. Children, especially if they get the disease, get a very mild disease. So it can be anything from what seems like a cold to, as the disease manifests itself more distinctly, an influenza-like illness. Fever is a common part of it. Cough is a common part of it. As it becomes more severe, shortness of breath. The people who are most profoundly impacted develop a viral pneumonia. So often when people have had something like what they describe as a double pneumonia, it's a bacterial illness. This is a viral illness, but it doesn't matter to the lungs. It's the same impact. And those are the people often that end up having to be hospitalized. And unfortunately, with the high fatality rate relative to influenza associated with this disease, it's often a viral pneumonia that causes those fatalities.
So is it safe to say that it's not usually a fatal kind of a thing, which I think a lot of people do? And how long is recovery?
For most people, within 2 weeks, they're going to be recovered from it. Like any viral illness, if a person has a milder illness, it may be shorter than that. But because of the incubation period of this disease, once somebody's known to have the disease, they're asked to self-quarantine for a two-week period. And then to be sure that they're well, and if they have a confirmed case before they're released to leave their home, they have to have two negative tests 24 hours apart. Right now, that's the CDC recommendation. As it becomes more widespread, that recommendation may change, but currently that's a recommendation for being released from isolation.
Dr. Nissen, we got a million more questions for you, and maybe we could make the arrangement to have you back on as early as Monday. But before we go, let us ask you this. We know PCHC cares for people regardless of ability to pay. We've learned that about Penobscot Community Healthcare. You and your team are on the front lines. How have you prepared for this, and are you ready for this?
We are ready for it. As you might imagine, we've been preparing for some time for this, and we continue to monitor the situation and look at what the next stage of preparedness might look like. It's really important that if people have a respiratory illness that they call ahead so that we can give advice. For people who are able to stay home, we want them to stay home so that they can properly take care of themselves and reduce the risk of infecting other people. For people who need to be seen, we want to coordinate that so we limit their exposure to other people in waiting rooms and pointing them through the most efficient system for getting treated. And there's a lot of collaboration in the community going on as well through the Community Health Leadership Board.
With this being like a cold as far as symptoms, why the panic?
Well, because this disease impacts especially older people and people with chronic disease in a very important way. So it looks like it has about 10 times the mortality of influenza. That means, if a million people in this country get this disease, and that's a very low estimate, it's much more likely going to be in tens of millions. But if a million people get the disease in this country, 100,000 people will die. And that's a devastating impact. So it's a very serious illness. It's great that younger people and healthier people get a more moderate illness. But in having that illness, if it spreads to vulnerable people, it's a very significant risk.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.